How'd interest rates get this high? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There just happened. A key benchmark for interest rates in America just crossed above 3% for the first time since 2013. Let's see, the readout says 3.001% as the government's 10-year note sags, pushing its yield upward. Joining me in our virtual ringside seats as we hit this minor economic milestone is Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
What caused this? I mean, there's one argument that hawkish comments from powerful people who are on the Fed's interest rate setting committee contributed to this in recent days.
Well, certainly the fact that the Fed is raising interest rates is one component driving up longer-term interest rates. It's sort of been a mystery that they haven't responded more than they have so far. And part of it is rising inflation. We see rising oil prices, some pressures on other underlying measures of inflation. So we're not as worried about deflation as we were a couple of years ago. And in fact, maybe it looks like we might get a little inflation that pushes up on the 10-year Treasury yield as well.
Which is connected to essentially everything capital E. Hey, you're not kidding about oil prices. The benchmark price for crude in Europe crossed above 75 today. And in New York trading, we're closing in on $69 a barrel.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things in oil's favor right now, a pretty decent global economy, strong demand pushing up prices, some geopolitical tensions leading to some supply concerns. So, again, this also feeds into inflation and rising yields, and that's kind of the environment we're in right now.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
A lot of this oil comes from West Texas. The Permian Basin is the second largest oil field in the world. The typical household income in that area is consistently among the highest in the United States, but not everyone is invited to this banquet. Marketplace's Andy Euler visited.
I met Torrance Neal at a DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Midland. He cleans rooms here, but it's not his only gig.
This is my part-time job. My night job is more my full-time job because I'm the operation manager for a cleaning company.
He says business is ticking right along right now. Oil prices are high. People can afford to hire him. And the hotels are full of oil workers. It's great to have work, he says, but it's not like he and his friends are living high on the hog.
Some people still struggling. They might give them 50 cents raise, but it really don't help, especially with the housing going up.
Neil lives in a two-bedroom apartment on the south side of Midland. It's subsidized accommodation, and he qualifies because he makes less than $32,000 a year. His uncle earns much less at a fast food joint down the road.
He makes $9 an hour, so he has to get another job.
$9 an hour is a far cry from what people staying in this hotel are pulling down. Entry-level salaries on some oil rigs start at $120,000, and that's nothing compared to some of the oil executives. Myra McKinley's a realtor in Midland. She deals with these high rollers a lot in her line of work.
They have so much money that they fly private to wherever it is that they want to go.
And she understands the way the high earners see it.
If I want to go have a nice golf weekend, then I'm going to go run off to Escondido. Or if I want to have some great meals, maybe I'll just go ahead and fly over to Las Vegas. Guess what? We make enough money right now that we can do that. So why not?
There's a Salvation Army shelter just two blocks south of that hotel where Torrance Neal cleans rooms. Barry Lee, a 56-year-old on fixed income, had just eaten lunch here. He says if you need help in Midland, you can get it.
Oh, yeah, lots of places. Salvation Army, Baptist Christ, Presbyterian churches, all the churches and stuff.
Kat Hernandez is the lead social worker here at the Salvation Army. She's got a less optimistic take.
Midland has only one homeless shelter, which is us.
She says the Salvation Army can house some 20 people here every night. At last count, there were 264 homeless people in Midland. Before I left, Barry Lee told me to drive a few miles down the road just to get a better sense of things.
You'll see a tent community. I mean, tons of them.
But when I drove to the spot, right behind a Burger King just a few miles away, all the tents were gone. City law enforcement had told the campers they had to move on. In a town that benefits from high oil prices and suffers from higher housing costs, just more folks looking for somewhere to lay their heads. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more that we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. You'll reap the rewards every time you listen, knowing that you're helping Marketplace make people smarter about the economy and why all this matters. And here's the thing, your donation now will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thanks for making a difference. Google's parent company Alphabet reported quarterly profits yesterday, which were much higher than forecasts, but these folks are also spending a lot of money. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is following this.
Alphabet made about $9.5 billion in profit. That's 73% higher than the same time last year. And most of its revenue came from advertising. It's the company's biggest moneymaker. Some also came from other projects, like its self-driving car company, Waymo. Also, a new accounting rule this year requires companies to report their earnings differently. And so that change is part of the reason Alphabet's profits are showing up bigger than last year. Alphabet is also spending a lot of money, more than $7 billion this quarter on capital expenditures. It's investing in technology, building out its data centers, and it also just bought a building in New York where it has some office space.
Thank you, Marielle. Google stock is down 2.7%. And you know Facebook flags or blocks some posts it deems in violation of its standards. But what are these standards exactly? Today, Facebook is set to release a 27-page document on what is permitted and what is not and why. What is harassment? What is a threat? What is too explicit? Photos of bare female chests will get blocked, but apparently breastfeeding and artistic depictions have been okay. But what are the actual rules? We'll know in about 2 hours. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.